Thank you, Jesus. A few moments ago, as we were singing and worshiping, power and presence of God swept in this place. It's felt such a spirit of intercessory prayer. I think it would be in order. I think it would be right before we get into the ministry of the word. We collectively as a congregation took some time to intercede. For our families, for our friends, for our nation, for our community. I know it's often stated, and if we're not careful, it can be somewhat cliche, but it is true. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I still know who holds tomorrow. And the Bible is still true. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Our land needs healing. I feel that spirit of intercession sweep in this place right now. No time limit. We're just going to take a few moments. And whether you feel like you want to come here to the front and kneel and pray, or whether you want to do it at the pew where you are, I don't know. This may take the remaining portion of this service. I don't really know, but I just want to obey the Holy Ghost. Let's intercede even for some families we know that are a part and connected to this church. The devil is seeking to destroy. And Lord, we need to come back together and combat the enemy. We need to pray. Can we do that right now? Can you lift your voice in intercessory prayer? Maybe God has laid someone on your heart. Maybe God has been dealing with you about a family even here connected to this church. Why don't we begin to cry out unto the Lord? All over this house, let's just find a place to pray for a little bit. Lift your voice in the Lord. Cry out when Zion travails. Children are born. Why don't we spend a little time in travail? Why don't we spend a little time interceding for our family, for our friends, for our loved ones? one man by the name of Moses could fall on his face before God, intercede on behalf of some probably 2 million people. God had decided to wipe them out, and Moses fell on his face before the Lord, interceding. What can we do as a body of believers? We agree, touching, interceding on behalf of our country. I know, I realize it's just like I can't, for some reason, get away from it. Maybe it's current events. Maybe it's just something in my spirit. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Why don't you stand to your feet? The gentleman in multimedia would be so kind to put up on the screen Psalm chapter 103. I would read it to you, but my iPad just went dead. Psalm chapter 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Next verse. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. Here's the thing. I understand and I completely agree. Songs we sing and feelings that we have in reference to heaven, reference to our eternity, in reference to the pleasures that are forevermore that await each and every one of us. But we also need to be reminded that there are benefits here. There are benefits in this life that I choose to bless the Lord now, not just because of what I'm going to receive as a reward, but I choose to bless the Lord now. Bless the Lord, all that is in me. Bless his holy. I bless him now. My life seeks to bless him now, not just because of what I'm going to end up receiving in the afterlife, not just because heaven awaits me as my home, but I bless the Lord now because even right here and right now, there's benefits. There's benefits. Lord, don't let me be so preoccupied with what is to come that I neglect to acknowledge your benefits in the present. Don't let me be so consumed with what's going to happen in the hereafter that I neglect to notice how your hand is upon me even today and how your blessings are upon my life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Next verse, if you would. Verse number 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Forget not all his benefits. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. As I stated a few moments ago, we are sometimes so preoccupied with heaven, and I don't demean those preoccupations. I don't in any way, shape, or form attempt to get us to steer away from setting our affection upon things above. The Bible says that we should do so. But even in the meantime, even in the here and now, we need not neglect the understanding that God gives good gifts unto his children. That God forgives all my iniquities. He does not impute the trespasses against me, that I am here today because of the mercies of Almighty God. I have to, in my own life and walk in relationship with God, as I deal with discouragement and deal with the issues of life and deal with things that come against me as an individual, I have to be reminded that these things, these trials, these tribulations, these vexations of spirit, as the Bible would say, these things are common to each and every one of us. We all deal to some degree with pressures and distresses and angst and all the things that society and life brings our direction. We all deal with these things. When in our humanity and us understanding the reality of life, we sometimes struggle. And if we're really candid and transparent and honest with ourselves, there are some times when we look at the life that we lead and the things that we do and wonder. I know we sing it. I know we pray it, if you will. We praise about it. It's going to be worth it all. And we say that in faith because none of us have yet to experience heaven and all that it has to hold. We say that in faith that one of these days we leave this life and we enter into the hereafter, that our faith and what we've believed and what we've placed our hope and our trust in, it will come to pass and there will be pleasures forevermore. Sometimes as we struggle in life and as we deal with circumstances, it is that hope, it is that assurance, if you will, that we have that keeps us going, that keeps us walking the walk and doing the things that we should do. But even in that, we need to understand that there is benefit here and now. That I, as an individual, though I deal with my share of circumstance and situation, that I have an opportunity right now to express unto those around about me that I am benefited by serving God. That it is not, and His commandments are not grievous. They are not burdensome. They are not things which cause me to go about with my head hung low, feeling like, well, I'm just doing this because I'm going to make heaven my home. Yes, I understand that's the end game, but right here and right now, there's benefit. And I believe that as Christians, as people who are endeavoring to shine light in darkness, we should have a resurrected mentality. A resurrected mindset that says, I am benefited by doing what I do now. I'm going to say that again. I am benefited by doing what I do now. I have been resurrected with Him and I walk in a newness of life. And that newness of life is a benefit. That newness of life is a benefit to me as an individual. It's a benefit to you as you come in contact with me. It's a benefit to my family. It's a benefit to my friend as I walk in this newness of life. This resurrected mentality that says, and here's the thing, if we are not careful, we will allow this world to bring us down. We will allow this world to keep us under, if you will, this depressive state that, oh, I'm dealing with all this and I'm going through all this and I'm serving God. No. I am dealing with all this just as you are dealing with all this and just as they are dealing with all this. But the difference is I've got benefits in serving God. There is a bonus to being a servant of God. There is a bonus to being a child of God. One of the things that I need to be reminded of on a daily basis is that His mercy is so good. It's so everlasting, because I fail. I don't know how true it is, but statistically they say that the average human being, now maybe you consider yourself above average, but they say the average human being will lie at least one or two times a day. You say, well, not me. How many times have we looked at someone and said, good to see you, when we really don't feel like it's good to see them? Oh, it's good to see you. Oh, it's not. Ah, yeah, I see.
We realize that in our humanity, we realize that in our imperfection and our inability to be as God, to be holy, though we strive and though we try and though we endeavor with everything in us to do and be all that we can be for God, we all fall short. We all neglect to really be everything that we can be for God. And the understanding is that even in all this, God does not impute those trespasses against us. The Bible tells us, it goes on to say in Psalms 103, that his anger, he doesn't nurse his anger, if you will. He doesn't keep it kindled. That even though I make mistakes and even though I mess up, guess what? God does not keep his anger kindled against me. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is there. It's because of his mercy, the Bible says, that we are not consumed. And so every day of my life, it is a benefit unto me. And the reality is, people who don't even serve God don't realize that they are benefited by it. They don't understand that the breath that they take into their own body is on loan from God. And the ability to even breathe and be upright is something that God gives them. It's a benefit. And so I want to go on in a few verses, but I want us to pay a close attention to verse number 5 of Psalm 103. If you could put that back up on the screen for us. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I did a little research of the commentary in this verse, and I began to look at it from a factual basis. What does this mean, your youth is renewed like an eagle? And I found out that the eagle, though one of the most majestic birds of prey, that the eagle goes through a stage of molting. The eagle has a time in its life where there is a severe deficiency in its body. And feathers begin to come out in extreme clumps. And many times this eagle that normally ascends up into the heavens and into the high heights and mountainsides, this eagle will make its way and find a hiding place in the valley. And the eagle will molt, and its feathers will fall off, and it will go through a severe stage of weakening in its life. But this eagle, as it makes its way through this molting stage, and as the old feathers are discarded and new feathers come into place, this eagle, according to nature and what they've been able to observe, that this eagle, though it's a very hard time in its life, this eagle will, upon ending that stage of molting, will be able to fly higher. The new feathers and the things that it has gained through the process of molting, it will be as if it is young again and able to fly into the heights and soar into the heavens. And as I begin to read that, I begin to understand what the psalmist is trying to say. He says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Brother Al, you read the passage a little earlier in our hearing. And when we understand that we are renewed, that we have the ability to once again soar, that even though life, and we go through those stages of molting, and we go through those stages where life seems to pick us apart, and we deal with all these situations and circumstances, we are still benefited by God when we serve Him. And when we make it through those times, and when we're tried in the furnace of affliction, and when we deal with those issues, when we come out on the other side, we realize we're stronger than we were before, and we are benefited by serving God. Apostle Paul goes to a lengthy dissertation concerning being chastened of the Lord, being tried of the Lord. And I begin to think about it in my own life, and in reference, you know, as I preach many times, I reference my own children. I believe that God shows me so much in dealing with my own children. And how that we in this day and age, you have to be careful now how you handle your kids in public. My wife reminded me today. Hey, you got to be careful. You're raising your voice like this in public. And I agree. She was right. There's some times when I am rather attentive to my kids, and I want to make sure they're in line and they're being on their best behavior. And now I understand our society is different today than what it was when I was growing up. And that we, to some extent, have to be careful. But the Bible tells us that the Lord chastens those that He loves and scourgeth every son. And so in the understanding is that one of the benefits of God. Now here's the thing. Now put your thinking cap on, because you're really going to have to understand. One of the benefits of serving God is that he chastens us. Is that he scourges us. Is that he takes us through a time when we have to deal with some stuff. And there's some times when we get a good old-fashioned soul-whooping from the Lord. And it's a benefit to us. I understand that when I discipline my children, it's a benefit to them, that it's going to teach them respect and reverence, that they're going to understand and know there's certain things you do in public and certain things you don't do in public. That it's going to benefit them. And not only is it going to benefit them in their life as they grow and mature, it's going to benefit those they come in contact with. Just last week I had an opportunity. I took Austin with me to the job I'm working over in Indiana. Some of the workers got to meet Austin, and you know Austin, he doesn't know a stranger. So he's in-depth conversation with him, talking about different things, and one of the guys just chuckled, and he calls me. He's a Mississippi boy, says a little bit country, and he calls me Mr. Nate. And so he looked at Austin, and he said, "Man, you're a Mr. Junior Nate." So he started calling him Mr. Junior Nate, and a little later on, he pulled me aside and said, "I want you to know you have a very respectful son." And I said, "Thank you." He said, I can tell you're raising him right." And I said, "Well, I appreciate that." I said, "Austin's a really good boy." And so we got in the vehicle to leave, and I looked over at Austin. I said, "Hey, bud, you ready to go?" He said, "I'm Mr. Junior Nate." Here's the thing. He said, "I understand that in life, as I'm teaching him these things, and sometimes when he looks at me and say, yeah, and I say, no, it's yes, sir. And he says, yes, sir, I'm teaching him. And yes, it's chastening to some extent. And yes, but it's a benefit to him. In this life that we live in serving the Lord, and when we deal with situations and struggle, we need to understand. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work. See, the reality is that one of the benefits of serving God is that he will chasten me. One of the benefits of serving God is that in this life, he will cause me to have to deal with things, and he will take me through situations and circumstances, but it's only for my good. It's only to make me better. I do what I do in response to my children and in discipline. I do because I want them to be better. I want them to be more respectful. I want them to have more reverence. And it's the same thing in God's relationship with me. He wants me to be more respectful. He wants me to admire the things of God more. And so sometimes that chastening is a benefit of the Lord. And as I go through that process, much like the molting of the eagle, guess what? It helps me become stronger. It helps me become better. It leads me and guides me into greater things in him. And it's a benefit. See, there's another benefit that we have in the Lord, and that is simply that we have each other. That we have a church, a body of believers where we can gather together and gain strength and encouragement. Lord would see fit to have us as a body of believers together, encouraging and strengthening one another, saying, "Hey, brother, I pray for you. Hey, sister, I'm praying for you. I'm lifting you up. I'm calling out your name before the Lord. I'm asking you how you're doing, because I really care and I'm concerned of your life." And we need to understand that that is a benefit. It is a benefit to have brothers and sisters who are beside me, who are experiencing the same things I'm experiencing and going through the same struggles that I'm going through. But guess what? They're there, and we're in this thing together, and we can pray for one another, and I'm benefited by you, and you're benefited by me, and together we're serving the Lord. And though he does scourge us, and though he does chasten us, we're benefited by serving him. What a benefit it is to know the Lord. Verse number 6, if you could put it up there. The Lord executed the righteous judgment for all that are oppressed. Verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I'm so thankful that but my God is slow to anger and is plenteous in mercy. Because I know me. I know it sometimes in reference to my own children, I, as some would say it, pop off. I'm not slow to anger. Man, the fuse burns quick. But not so with my Heavenly Father. He is slow to anger. One of the benefits in serving God is that He is slow to anger. It's no mystery. I look around at this world and the way and it's going, and I think to myself, man, if I was in control of it all, if I had the power that He has, would I be as long-suffering as He is? I doubt I would, but He is slow to anger, and He's plenteous in mercy. Verse number 9, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. Verse 10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor has He rewarded us according to our iniquities. I am so thankful that though I mess up and make mistakes on a frequent basis, catch it, though I am my humanity, I fail. Guess what? He does not reward me for my iniquities. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus that paid the price for my salvation. I'm thankful that He took out His chastisement of our peace was upon Him, that Jesus took it upon Himself. And so He became the one that was judged, so I don't have to be judged. And I'm so thankful for the grace and mercy of Almighty God. It's a benefit that I have today. I am so thankful for what He's doing and has done. And what He's going to do in my life. I'm thankful for Him. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. I am benefited by fearing the Lord. I am benefited by having awe and reverence and respect for what the Lord does in my life. We need not be so concerned, please, and I hope you grasp the intent of what I'm trying to say. That sometimes we find ourselves doing what we do because it's the end game that we're looking for. And I know that we're encouraged to do that, but even here and now, I will never, ever introduce my kids to something more important in their life than Jesus Christ and His benefits. There is nothing that they could ever acquire in their life. There's nothing that you and I could ever find or have hold or that you and I could ever acquire in ourselves that would even come close. It all pales in comparison to the benefits of serving God. When I walk in those doors, I'm benefited by being in the house of the Lord. When I talk in fellowship with my brothers and sisters, I'm benefited by the fellowship that I have. When I choose to walk this walk and live this life, I'm benefited as a person. And the people that are around me are benefited by the choices that I make. And when I walk in this newness of life and have a risen mentality, not a pessimistic, downtrodden, depressed mentality, but a risen mentality that says I walk in newness of life, and though it may be bad all around about me, I still serve a God who has benefits. I still serve a God who is good, and He's full of mercy, and He's full of love. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. So I will bless the Lord, O my soul. I will come into His house and I will lift my voice and praise. I will thank Him. I will bless His holy name. Why? Because I won't forget His benefits. I will not forget. I know heaven awaits and I know there's great recompense of reward. I realize all of that. But even right here and right now, it's a good life living for the King. I'm benefited by doing what I do. I'm benefited by serving God. I'm benefited as a person. I'm benefited as I'm a better father. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better coworker. I'm a better individual all the way around when I understand that I'm benefited by serving God. Not only am I benefited, but those around about me, those that I come in contact with, are benefited. Forget not all his benefits. Lord, help me. Help me. I realize that I set my affection upon things above, but I also understand, Lord, that right now, here in this life, I am benefited by serving you. I am benefited by the life that I lead. I am benefited, God, and endeavoring to do your will in your way. Your word is right, God. The Bible is true, Lord. And I thank you for the understanding that the more I do and the more I serve, the more I'm benefited, God. And I will not neglect to forget your benefits. I will not neglect to forget your mercy and your love and your long-suffering, that you're slow to anger, Lord. I will not neglect to understand that even now as I walk this walk, I'm benefited by serving you. And yes, ultimately, God, having heaven as my home and pleasures forevermore, I'm looking forward to all of that, God. But while I'm here, even now, Lord, let me not forget your benefits. Let me not forget your blessings upon my life. Let me not forget that you heal and you help and you deliver and you strengthen, Lord. Let me lift my voice in worship, God. Let me lift my hands in praise, Lord, that I don't forget your benefits, God, that I truly understand how good you are. Forget not all his benefits. Serving God is a bonus. For he has come that you might have life and that more abundant. There was a thing that went around for a while, simply said, life is good. To some extent, I guess that could be true, but might I offer this? Life with God is better. Life with God is better. Lord, I won't forget all your benefits. I won't forget that I'm standing here today because of your mercy, because you are slow to anger. But Lord, if I were you, I would have probably given up on me a long time ago. But your long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, I won't want to forget your benefits. And so I want to simply come tonight and say, thank you. Thank you for this life that I lead. Thank you for this opportunity that I have to know you and to serve you. I think of people in the world that have never even heard the name of Jesus, who are born in such depravity. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that I've had an opportunity to be born, God, to God-fearing parents. I'm thankful, Lord, don't let me forget all the benefits. Let me have an attitude of gratitude. Let my praise be an expression of how appreciative I am of all your benefits. I know you may look at some situations in your life and say, well, it could be a lot better. I get that. It could also be a lot worse. And Lord, because you're in the picture, because I've chosen to follow you, I'm benefited. And Lord, help me not to forget all your benefits. Let me come tonight and lift my hands and lift my voice and say, thank you, Jesus. For those of you that are raising young children, you need to cry out unto God and say, thank you, Lord. I have an opportunity to raise this child in what will truly benefit him. What would truly benefit her? I could give a lot of things and I could make possible a lot of opportunities in their life, but the one thing that matters the most is that I teach them what benefit it is to serve you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I bless your name, Jesus. I bless you. You are good.
You are a giver, your glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your provision.
Provider.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jehovah,
I'm benefited by serving you.
Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom. You're my Prince of Peace. And I worship you because of who you are. I worship you because you're holy, you're holy. I worship you because you're holy, that's who you are. I worship you because you're mighty, you're mighty. I worship you because you're mighty, that's who you are. I worship you because you're righteous, you're righteous. I worship you because you're righteous, that's who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of peace, and I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh,
hallelujah,
you're my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, my prayer. holy, you're holy. I worship you because you're holy, that's who you are. I worship you because you're mighty, you're mighty. I worship you because you're mighty, that's who you are. I worship you because you're righteous, you're righteous. I worship you because you're righteous, that's who you are.
Jesus,
because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and sing. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
There was a song that was popular some years ago. It was entitled, I Choose to Be a Christian. The word said something to the effect, I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be like him. Nobody's holding a gun to my head. This is how I want to live.
Right. Amen.
And I choose to be a Christian, not just for what awaits on the other side. I choose to be a Christian, not because that's the qualification in order to make heaven my home. No.
Right. Right.
Yes, those things are incentive, certainly. They're part of the catalyst that keeps me doing what I do, yes. But I also choose to be a Christian because I'm benefited now.
Lord,
we thank you for your word. I thank you for these precious people. I thank you for the opportunity to once again look into your word and realize, God, that this life that we choose to lead, we're benefited. Lord, let us not neglect to look heavenward and say thank you. The many things you provide and give, make possible, God. It's a result of serving you. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, Jesus. It's a good life living for you. I'm benefited. Those around about me are benefited. I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I glorify you, I honor you. Go with us from this place. As we walk through life tomorrow, God, let us realize that we are a blessed people. We are benefited by you. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.